I'm going to talk to Mr. Terrence McKenna right now. Terrence is an ethnobotanist. He's the author of Food of the Gods, True Hallucinations, and numerous other very informative books and articles. And he's been featured in many magazines such as Omni and Psychedelic Illuminations, many other books. Are you on the line there, Terrence?
I'm hanging in.
All right.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm here. I'm up. I don't know how long we can do it with cellular from Hawaii, but I'm willing to give it a whirl.
Well, you sound good on this end.
Yeah. The phone line's much better than the last time we had you on the show. This is another time period where people haven't heard this information before, and I don't know if they realize how ancient this plant is, the marijuana cannabis plant. Could you give people a little background information on how old this plant is?
Well, probably this plant is as old as agriculture. In fact, probably much older. Because it has so many uses, you know, as food, as fuel, as fiber, as animal fodder, it was really just there when we came out of the darkness of pre-civilization. And it grows very well across the Middle East, the kind of areas that human populations were migrating into. I think it's arguably one of the oldest cultivated plants.
Now, this plant's been used in many different ways down through the millenniums of time. What are some of the things that you found in your research that the plant's been used for?
Well, I'm particularly interested in the intoxication of it and how that affected various cultures. And one of the interesting things about that is how recent smoking cannabis is. In the 19th century, people who were experimenting with cannabis for its psychological effects were eating it. As far as the other uses, you know, I think probably we find cordage and impressions of weavings on the sides of clay pots that go back nearly 7,000 years. And that cordage probably was hemp.
And that was Catalla yuck.
It's been used as a basis for material culture that long, and it's also been used as a basis for, you know, the imaginative and theatrical and fun side of things.
One of the things we learned from Lynn and Judy Osborne's book, Green Gold, The Tree of Life, Marijuana and Magic and Religion, is that the ancient sacred incense that was burned in all the temples of all religions was actually hashish. And that the Scythians, for instance, had felt tents that they built, and they would stick their head into it and breathe in the smoke or vapors from the hashish or cannabis buds.
Yes, that's in Herodotus.
Right.
And I talk about that in my book, Food of the Gods, as well. I think that's the earliest literary mention of cannabis. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's the earliest literary mention, but as I say, the presence of cordage and weaving. In my book, I talk about how all the words associated with storytelling, like spinning a yarn, unraveling a tale, tying up loose ends, these are all words associated with weaving and spinning. And I think probably, you know, in the long hours of the Paleolithic, people made cordage and they wove and they were high on cannabis and they told stories. It helped them recite the database of the culture. And of course, children were present observing all this, learning the stories and the ways of the weavers.
Well, I think one of the interesting things I find about this plant is the way it opens up doors of communication amongst people.
Yes, it's a strong social glue, and the impact of this on a socially bound animal like ourselves is very hard to calculate. It seems to incline people more to an erotic, laid-back family style than a warring, hunting, outward-pushing kind of predator style.
Well,
hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I'm a great enthusiast of mushrooms and their impact on prehistory, but I think when people moved out of Africa, the obvious substitute for the religious complex that had been established in Africa was cannabis. I mean, cannabis was worldwide, easy to grow, as I said, a food, a fuel, it inputted into material culture. It was like a new incarnation of the goddess to these people moving out of Africa and trying to cross the Anatolian plateau and enter India and so forth.
Well, and so it's obviously had some influence in cultures throughout time, and I'm looking at the political climate of today. And one of the premiums, or one of the gifts that we're giving away today, is your talk from the Phoenix Bookstore call on true hallucinations.
Uh-huh.
And you said in that that you happened to believe that if marijuana became legal, it would be a very big deal. And I was just wondering if you could expand on that a little bit in the political climate of today and in global market where this plant is taking off as a resource for
sure.
food and fiber
sure.
and medicine, and yet it's still being stifled information-wise in this country.
Well, I think that's because we never, in the whole discussion about legalizing cannabis, have come to grips with what I think is the real issue, which
mm-hmm.
is it does change people, and
yes.
the way in which it changes them makes it hostile towards the values of industrial capitalism.
That's for sure.
And yet it provides a base for an economic recovery.
As a product itself, but as a habit,
yes.
it makes you very uninterested in the values and schedules and hierarchies of industrial society. So I've always felt that it was being suppressed with that fully in the mind of the suppressors, that this is very, very important, I think, to how society and social polity will develop in the future. The question being, will it be with or without an ambiance of cannabis? And I think cannabis, you know, promotes Gaian values, feminine
mm-hmm.
values,
yeah.
community values, and a hard look at the other set of values, unbridled materialism, that is being sold in the media marketplace.
That's right. And in this day and age when the entire world is starting to come on to this thing, and yet, you know, it's still being suppressed information-wise in this country and the whole
always felt that when the whole world was free and enlightened, that
mm-hmm.
probably the United States would be the last bastion of constipation and crypto-fascism on the planet.
I think you're right, bro.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing that we stick with it.
You know, and that's the other thing, is that throughout time, you know, against all opposition to do otherwise, there has been a certain faction of people on this planet that have continued to keep this seed alive.
That's
and
right.
over the centuries, over millennium, and continue to use it against all opposition to do otherwise.
Well, it's the phenomenon of the margin. And, you know, in the United States, it was black people in the 20s
mm-hmm.
and so forth. It retreats to the margin in eras when social control becomes totally autocratic. And then in periods of social confusion or plurality, it can make an emergence. But whether it will ever, you know, in the United States, be legal to just twist one up and go for it, I just don't know, because to me it is so inexorably linked to political dissent. And
yeah.
you just don't hear this said much on either side.
No, it's, you know, it's like if you really want to know what's going on in an office, listen to what they're not talking about.
That's right.
So.
But there seems to be an agreement on the part of the hemp proponents and the hemp opponents not to discuss the actual social impact of what it would mean to let people relax, for God's sake. and a drug like Prozac, patented and owned by drug companies,
Happy Drugs,
is in a sense being marketed, I think, as a cannabis substitute that
I have to agree.
Controllable by the pharmaceutical people.
You know, also, I think one thing I found about it is it teaches people to share. In fact, in all of the people in the hemp community that I deal with, we end up, you know, bartering things and sharing food. And a very communal type lifestyle follows this around also, tribal lifestyle.
Well, it, like all hallucinogens or psychedelics, it tends to dissolve boundaries. And so the idea of me and mine is not quite so strong. And then we let our hair down a little and we can share food and who knows what else if we were to explore it. I think it's wonderful. I think in a sense it's the first step toward curing our dis-ease with civilization. I mean, I wrote a book called The Archaic Revival that was basically about trying to turn people toward shamanistic lifestyles, especially lifestyles based on relationship to plants. And cannabis is right up there.
Terrence, we're in the last day of a fundraiser here at KPFK, and we'd like you to maybe tell the listeners why you think it's important that they support this radio station in bringing them this information.
Oh, I'd be happy to say why I think Pacifica Radio is important. I started listening to Pacifica when I came to Los Angeles, to the Mojave Desert in 1965, and I've stuck with it when I lived in Northern California. I listened to the Berkeley station, and over all that time, 65, 75, 85, 95, 30 years, consistently, Pacifica Radio has been the best source of information of a countercultural and critical sort. And that's speaking through the Vietnam War, through the Nixon years, through Watergate, Carter, all of that. I just think I can't say enough good things about KPFK and the people who run it. It's one of the last beacons of freedom in a progressively more fascistic and constipated country.
Right on.
Yeah. Well, Terrence, we're going to let you go so we don't run up your phone bill too much. And we want to thank you so much for coming on and helping us raise money for KPFK, because we do have to keep it going in order to keep bringing out this kind of information.
Well, I hope it wasn't too crackly, and anytime I can help out, why, just send me email or let me know.
Do you want to give out your email number?
I'd love to give out, not my email number, but let me give out my website address.
Great.
I'd love to have people visit my website.
Okay.
It's http://www.levity.com/eschaton, ESCHATON/. And I won't repeat it. we'll just hope people are really on the ball. Anyway, you can find it by searching Terrence McKenna in Lycos. I love talking to you. I hope that the politics of cannabis continue to blossom, and in spite of my own skepticism, I'd love to see a world where we could all grow our food, get high, stop cutting the forest, and live in community.
Thank you so much, Terrence.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Until we get enough.